Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Of nothing but the truth. I am Morey Isha from the House of Israel of Cincinnati, located at 1907 Vine Street, here to bring you nothing but the truth. And we'd like to say shalom to everyone that is tuned in to our program, for we know that the only reason that you've tuned into our program is because of your great fear and love towards the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? The only King, the only Redeemer, and the only Savior of Israel and the world. And Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Yahweh is the one that has raised us up to bring you His truth. And that's what we will do today. And tonight, we will begin or continue our series are orders dealing with the purpose of marriage. We've been dealing with this all week. Yahweh's purpose for marriage. And why is it that we're dealing with the purpose of marriage or the purpose of anything? Well, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the first verse reads, "To everything there is a season," and that means everything has a season. That means everything has a particular time. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. That means there's seasons and times that are assigned to all purposes. There's a time to be married. Yes, there's a time to be married. And as Moray Ishaya so beautifully taught yesterday, marriage is the essence of life. Marriage is what life is all about. When you're dealing with the Creator, everything Yahweh did involved marriage, meaning it involved His covenant. Marriage is a covenant, and there's a time to join yourself, a time to be married. There's a time for marriage. And when is this time? When did Yahweh marry His people? In the book of Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter, the 12th verse reads, "When you have made an end of tithing all the tithes of your increase, the third year," because that's the year of tithing. The third year is the year of tithing. Not the fourth year, not the fifth, but the third. "And you have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within your gates and be filled. Then you shall say before Yahweh your Elohim, I have brought away the hollow things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all that thou commandest, which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof of my morning, neither have I taken aught from it for any unclean use, nor given anything thereof for the dead. But I have listened to the voice of Yahweh my Elohim, and have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven, and bless your people Israel, in the land which you have given us, as you have swore unto our fathers, a land that flows with milk and honey. This day, Yahweh, your Elohim, commanded you to do these statutes and judgments. You shall therefore keep and do them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have avouched Yahweh this day to be your Elohim, and to walk in His ways, and to keep His statutes, and His commandments, and His judgments, and to listen to His voice. And Yahweh has avouched watched you this day to be his peculiar people, as he has promised you, and that you should keep all his commandments, and to make you high above all nations which he has made, in praise and in name and in honor, and that you may be a holy people unto Yahweh your Elohim, as he has spoken. What day? When the Creator says, this day, when we're supposed to recite this and say, this day, well, what day? We already know it's in the third year, but what day? In the third year, in the year of tithing. It says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, and we're looking at the purpose of marriage. And there is a time to every purpose. And we dealt with purpose number one, which is to establish good. The second purpose, to establish oneness. The third, fourth, and fifth, to be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the earth. And now, today, we'll be dealing with the sixth, which is to rejoice. You have to rejoice. Yahweh has put together this covenant, this institution, so we can rejoice. But you got to know how to rejoice, when to rejoice, where to rejoice, and who to rejoice before. And why are you rejoicing? And if you want to know that, then you got to know what is the time of this purpose. And in Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, the 28th verse, and I'm showing you now the time that we were to bring forth these tithes and repeat and say that this day has Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes and judgments. This day have we avouched unto Yahweh our Elohim. This day has Yahweh avouched unto us. This day Yahweh has said that we shall be a nation of holy priests, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, above all people, a peculiar treasure. What day, what time did Yahweh marry Israel? In Deuteronomy 14, verse 28 reads, at the end of the third year. Your book might say at the end of 3 years. But at the end of your third year, you shall bring forth all the tithe of your increase, the same year, and shall lay it up within your gates. Yeah, this is the time when you do this. The same thing we read in the book of Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter, 12 through 19, at the third year. Well, when is the end of the third year? The end of the third year is in the seventh month. And this is when you bring your tithes, all the tithes of the third year. And this is when Yahweh avouched unto us, and when we avouched unto him. He said this day, and why the third year? Because the third represents Yahweh's servant on earth. But when did we avouch ourselves unto Yahweh? When did we marry our Elohim? When did we go into covenant with our Creator? in the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter. Verse 1 reads, in the third month, when the children of Israel had gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim and come to the desert of Sinai, in place had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. When is this? The third month. When? The self-same day. In the day of the third month. In the third month. This day is when we came into this wilderness. And Moses, on this same day, went up to Elohim. And Yahweh called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. This is what Yahweh said to us, said to Moses, to tell us, and this is the day of the new month, the third month, in the first year. And Moses went up. He said in verse 4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, above all people, for all the earth is mine. Isn't that what Yahweh said in Deuteronomy 26? This day, he's avouched us to be this special people above all people. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. That's Yahweh avouching himself to us. In verse 7, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which Yahweh commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that Yahweh has spoken, we will do. And Moshe returned the words of the people unto Yahweh. And the people avouched ourselves unto Yahweh this day. When is this day? This was the third month, the day of the new month. Well, how do I know that this day is the same as the end of the third year, which would be the seventh month? We know that because Yahweh has signed seasons, days, and years. Yahweh, all his ways is judgment. Yahweh, he measures. And he's shown us this. And if you know what we're saying, then you know that there's only 7 months. There's only 7 days. There's only 7 years. And they all repeat. Of the first month. The ninth month repeats the second month. The tenth month repeats the third month. The 11th month repeats the fourth month. The 12th month repeats the fifth month. And then you have a new year. It's just like your hours sometimes. You have daytime hours, they just repeat at night. And now you have months, they just repeat. And every month has its own day in which it begins on. But there's only 7 months. So the third month in the first year is the same as the seventh month in the third year of tithing. It's the same day. It's just in a different position. But it's the same day. It's the same month. It's the Creator. That's that day when this was done. And he placed it in the year of tithing. The purpose, every purpose, there's time to it. every purpose. And this is the time of marriage. And what year are we in today? We're in the third year of Yahweh's calendar. Why else has Yahweh purposed us to once again deal with his covenant? Because he made this covenant with his servants on earth. And marriage is a covenant. Look who even, look what Leah said about her son in the book of Genesis, the 29th chapter, in verse 32. It says, "And Leah conceived and bore a son and called his name Reuben. For she said, surely Yah has looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, because Yahweh has heard that I was hated, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Shimeon or Simeon." See, the first son, the order of one, the judgment of one, the measurement of one, the order of one represents vision, sight, seeing, light. You need vision. You need it to see. You need light. And Yahweh saw her affliction. The second son, Yahweh heard. And the third son, verse 34, "And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi." He's joined. He's the one that bring them together. Why the third? Because that's the judgment of three. That's the measurement of three. That's the order of three. To be joined. To come. What does a covenant do? A covenant joins you unto something. What is marriage doing? A man, when he marries, when he masters over his wife, they are now joined together. You don't master over nothing that don't belong to you, that you are joined to. When Yahweh made man, he said it's not good for him to be alone. So he gave him a helpmeet. He said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He said that now man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave unto the wife, unto his wife. Be joined to her. You're joined now. And this time is dealing with the third. And so, as the first purpose of marriage is to establish goodness, that's why it says in the book of Proverbs, the 18th chapter, verse 22, whoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from Yah. This is good. You got a wife, that's a good thing. Now y'all can establish goodness. You're complete, you're whole, you're together. You're not out there alone, which is not good, which is not whole, which is not complete. Now you got this wife. But then Yahweh said, and they shall be one flesh. That's the second purpose of marriage. To be one. To establish this unity. Two can't walk together, at least they agreed. But say you got the purpose, you're good. Now you're united. Then the third purpose, which is to be fruitful, now you're planting your seed. You're bringing forth. You're multiplying. You're bringing forth and you're having children. And you're filling the earth. Your children are having children. You're filling the earth. You're having children. You're bringing forth. Bringing forth fruit. Bringing forth all these things. And now, what are you going to do? Well, let's look what Yahweh says about all this. Why rejoice? Is that really the purpose? The heathens teach you that your wife is your ball and chain, and your husband is your old man. This is what the heathens say. My old man, my ball and chain. How do you refer to the thing Yahweh said is your good thing? How in the world does it look for a man to refer to his wife, the woman Yahweh gave him because he had some favor for him, and said, this is a good thing? And now you say, the ball and chain. And she say, the old man. This doesn't sound like what Yahweh said. In Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, if you're doing the word of the Most High, then you should have goodness. Look what Yahweh said in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass, if you shall listen diligently to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, which means get a wife, marry a husband, get you a husband, become married to your husband, get a wife, become married to your wife. Be united. Be fruitful. That means all this freezing of your ovaries, freezing of your sperm, and then genetically have them manipulated so you can try to... No, that's not what Yahweh said. He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. This is what Yahweh said. Said, if you listen to him, all these commandments, that Yahweh your Elohim will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you shall listen to the voice of Yah your Elohim. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your cows, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket in store. Blessed shall you be when you come out, come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Yahweh says you will be blessed and blessed and blessed. All the fruit that you supposed to seed and plant will be blessed. You're supposed to plant your seed, and your fruit of the body will be blessed. Plant the seed of the ground, and the fruit of the ground will be blessed. Make sure you have cattle, and they have seed, and they will be blessed. As long as you are doing what Yahweh said, which is being fruitful and multiplying and filling the earth and being united. And being good. But what did Yahweh want you to do with all these blessings? In Deuteronomy 28, read verse 42. We'll show you what we have learned from the heathen, which has now became our curse. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 42, it states, all your trees and fruit of the land shall the locusts consume. Why? Because you didn't listen to Yah. So now, even though you was trying to be fruitful, you trying to be fruitful in a way that Yahweh don't accept. So now you cursed, and now all the trees shall the locusts consume. And the stranger that is among you shall get you up very high above you, and you shall come down very low. In verse 41 reads, you shall beget sons and daughters, meaning you're going to multiply. You're going to be fruitful. You're going to multiply. You're going to get sons and daughters, but they shall go into captivity. But you shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Meaning you're supposed to enjoy them. You're supposed to rejoice. But you won't, because they're going to go into captivity. And they're going into captivity because you didn't do something that Yahweh wants you to do, which is in verse 47. Because you serve not Yahweh your Elohim with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Did we not go over and learn the order and the purpose of marriage? The third is to be fruitful. The fourth is to multiply. But the fifth is to fill the earth. Now you have abundance. And Yahweh gave you this abundance. And now, what are you doing? Yahweh said, because you didn't serve me with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. You said you had many children. You said you had too many cattle. You didn't feel like herding all this cattle. You didn't feel like planting all this seed. You didn't want to accept the blessings of the Most High. You wanted to be like the heathen. They just get to go to the grocery store and pick out their food out of the refrigerators. Why I got to go out here and be fruitful? Why I got to multiply? Why I got to fill the earth? I got to do all this work. But the heathen, they just press a button and they get this and they get that. Somebody's being fruitful. Somebody's multiplying. Somebody's filling the earth. Why ain't it you? Now, he says in verse 48, therefore will you serve your enemies, which Yahweh shall send against you in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness for the want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck till he has destroyed you. That doesn't sound like joyous. That doesn't sound like you're rejoicing. That sounds like you're oppressed. That sounds like you're brought down very low. That sounds like hell, that I got to serve my enemies to eat. I got to serve my enemies to be dressed. I got to serve my enemies for thirst. I got to serve my enemies for anything that I want. That's not how Yahweh wanted you to do it. This is what Yahweh said will happen when we don't do it. And look in the book of Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter. In verse 22 reads, you shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed that the field brings forth year by year. Again, this is what you're supposed to do. Be fruitful. But you got to tithe that fruit. But how are we going to be fruitful if we united? You get a wife and you tell your wife, we're going to till the soil. We're going to bring forth fruit out of the ground. And she look at you like, you trying to be a farmer? Nah, I'm going to go be a cosmopolitan girl. I'm going to go walk and strut and be some kind of heathen-like person and get me a job in the top of the building and work at a keyboard. I'm not going to learn how to be fruitful. I don't want to know how to grow flaxseed so I could spin linen thread. I don't want to learn how to raise sheep so I could spin wool. I don't want to learn how to raise cotton so I could spin fabric. I don't want to learn how to harvest silk. I just want to type on the keyboard and talk on the phone. But Yahweh said, you shall truly tithe the increase of your seed that the field brings forth from year to year. Yeah, you got to be united to be able to have a garden. You should have yourself a food supply when you get married. But you got to be united to keep the food supply going. What happens if you become fruitful and you multiply and you have no food supply? Now, how are you going to continue doing your purpose if you can't eat? Yahweh wants unity so these things can be blessed. So he tied this increase year by year. And you shall eat before Yahweh, your Elohim, verse 23. In the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of your corn, of your new wine, and of your oil, and the firstborn of your herds, and of flocks, that you may learn to fear Yahweh, your Elohim, always. And if the way is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry it, or if the place is too far from you, which Yahya Elohim shall choose to set his name there, when Yahya Elohim has blessed you, then shall you turn it into money, and bind up the money in your hand, and shall go to the place which Yahya Elohim shall choose, and you shall bestow that money for whatsoever your soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatever your soul desires. And you shall eat before Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall rejoice, you and your household, and the Levite that is with you in your gates, and you shall not forsake him. He has no part nor inheritance with you. Yes, you shall do this. You shall rejoice after you've tied it, after you've brought forth the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, and then you bring the fruit of your household, and you all rejoice before Yahweh. That's how Yahweh wanted you to do. He done got you food out of the ground, cattle to roam the earth, substance. He done got you a household. He done allowed you to acquire all this substance, all the ads that you give a tenth. So you can bring that tenth, and this ain't the tenth that you bring in the third year. This is a tenth that you bring year by year to Jerusalem, of your field, of all your increase, and you go and celebrate before the Most High. And the Levite that is with you, he's with you too. And he gets to celebrate with you also. And everybody gets to celebrate the increase, the filling the earth, the multiplying, the being fruitful. You get to celebrate that now. But how are you going to do that if you're divided? How are you going to do that if you ain't good? How can you do any of these things if you're not establishing goodness? You don't see no single man going and celebrating all of his children, all of his wives, all of his fruit from the ground, all of his cattle. He's at the bar drinking, taking shots, wishing he had a woman, being a whoremonger, being a dog. He don't have goodness looking for a woman. Where's the single women? They in the club also. They all doing the same thing, trying to find out if somebody going to be their spouse. They not rejoicing with their house. They return to a single bedroom apartment. No children, no garden, no wives, no husbands, no cattle. But Yahweh wants you to come together, establish good, establish unity, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and then rejoice before him. Look in the book of Deuteronomy, or go to the book of Isaiah, the 51st chapter. In Isaiah chapter 51, start reading at the first verse. It says, "Listen to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek Yahweh. Look unto the rock wherefore you were hewn, and unto the hole of the pit wherefore you were digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah bore you. Were they not one? Were they not together to establish this goodness? Were they not fruitful? Did they not multiply? Did they not fill the earth? For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For Yahweh shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody." Why? Because he done filled it back up. Because he done made it fruitful again. Because he done multiplied in it again. Because he done took away all the drought. He done took away the famine. He done took away the noisome beasts and the pestilence. Now it's not a wilderness anymore. It's a fruitful garden. You didn't have anything to rejoice about. What are you rejoicing for? Well, look what Yahweh said about this perverse joy that you and I have learned from the heathens and from the foolish ways of man. In Isaiah, the 5th chapter, start reading at verse 11. It states here, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflames them, and the harp, and the viol, and the tambourine, and the flute, and the wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the word of Yahweh, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dry up with thirst. And instead of you, the holy nation of Yah, the holy people of the Creator, Yahweh's word being enlarged, instead of Yahweh's holy people being enlarged, instead, it says, verse 14, therefore, hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. Yes. Meaning all your vain celebrations. It's Friday. I'm getting drunk. It's Saturday. I'm getting drunk. It's Sunday. I'm getting drunk. I had a tough Monday. I'm getting drunk. All the vain celebrations, all the vain joyous occasions. It's 420. I'm getting high. What's that for? You're supposed to rejoice before Yahweh with your house. You're supposed to rejoice before Yahweh because you done filled the earth, because you done multiplied, because you've been fruitful, because you're one. Because you're good, not because you're high, not because you have a wife. People get a divorce and start celebrating. This isn't the way of the Creator. Yahweh said the purpose of marriage is this in the book of Proverbs. And we'll go to Proverbs, the 5th chapter. And we'll begin reading at verse 15. Drink waters out of your own cistern, and running waters out of your own well. Dig your own well, create your own water supply, and drink water. Why you got to drink Nestle's water, Poland Springs water, Aquafina's water? Drink water out of your own cistern. Get your own. And drink water and running waters out of your own well. Let your fountains be dispersed abroad, meaning the earth, and rivers of water in the streets. Be fruitful and multiply. That's what he's letting you know. Let them be only thine own and no strangers. Which don't let strangers do this thing, but do you do this thing. Let your fountain be blessed. See, that's what happens when you do this thing. That's why filling the earth is the fifth thing, because it's a blessing. To fill the earth. It's the first blessing to fill the earth. To be abundant. But then he said, and rejoice. Now, here's your double blessing. Here's the sixth thing, because six is a double blessing. And rejoice with the wife of your youth. You're supposed to rejoice with her. Not supposed to be going to the bowling alley and to the bar and to the wherever you're going with the guys and calling her the ball and chain. Talking bad about her. No, you're supposed to rejoice with her. She the one that you clave to. She the one you became one with. She the one that you was fruitful with. She the one that you multiplied with. She the one that you filled the earth with. And now you're going to go and rejoice with a stranger? Now you're going to go and rejoice with your homies and talk about her? Same for the women. Did all this rejoicing, and now you're going, you did all this work, and now you're going on a girl's trip and talking about your husband. This is not what the Creator wanted you to do. You're supposed to be one. He said, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let her be as the loving deer or the loving roe and pleasant roe. And let her breast satisfy you at all times. And be you ravished always with her love. Enjoy her. Rejoice with her. Be happy with her. You done did all this work. Now, enjoy yourself. Kick back and rejoice. What else do you have in this life? Yahweh don't want you walking around here talking evil upon your wife, the woman that is the foundation of your house, attempting to talk evil against your husband, your master, the one that guides you. No, Yahweh wants us to rejoice because of all the blessings he's given. This is where marriage should lead you to. Did Yahweh, look at this in Psalms 37. What Yahweh wants you to do with him. Rejoice. He doesn't bring us out of captivity, give us his laws, teach us his ways, makes us this holy nation, a kingdom of priests, a peculiar treasure for us to be depressed, down. In Psalms 37, verse 3 reads, "Trust in Yahweh and do good, so that you shall dwell in the land, and truly you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in Yahweh, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Yet delight in the Most High. Be happy about Creator and what he's done. In Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he that keeps the law." If you keep the law, which includes most majorly the purpose of marriage. That's the law. It's a law to be married. To find a wife. To be one. To be fruitful. To multiply. To fill the earth. That's a law. When you do those things, you should be happy. You should rejoice. You should be ravished with the wife that you met when you was whatever age you was, and now you are here today at this time, and you have children and grandchildren and a house and fruit and all these things that you didn't have before you got with them. Go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. And in Deuteronomy chapter 12, we'll begin reading at verse 10, where it states, "But when you go over to the Jordan, over the Jordan, and dwell in the land which Yah Elohim giveth you to inherit, and when he gives you rest from all your enemies round about, so you dwell in it safely, then there shall be a place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, tithes, and your heave offerings of your hand, all your choice vows, which ye vow unto Yah. And you shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim, you and your sons and your daughters and your manservants and your maidservants and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he has no part nor inheritance with you." Again, the Most High letting you know, don't forget, when you become blessed, when you become at rest, when you become fat, when you become healthy and cool and secure and you chilling, don't forget him. And to rejoice before him. And don't leave your children at home. Don't leave your servants at home. Don't leave your wife at home, and don't leave your husband. You see it in a man bring your wife, or wife bring your husband. Say you, because you, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're a husband or a wife, you can have sacrifices. You can have tithes, offerings, vows, man or woman. Man or woman, you got sons, you got daughters. Man or woman, you got men servants, you got maid servants, and your maid servant ain't your wife, and your man servant ain't your husband, but you got them if you have them, and you're supposed to rejoice with your whole house. That's what the Most High wants you to do. Look in the book of 1 Samuel, the second chapter. And what are we discussing? The purpose of marriage. The sixth purpose of marriage, which is to rejoice. And why? Because you done established goodness. You got a good thing. I love when I hear people say, my good thing. You got a good thing. You got favor from Yahweh. That should be enough right there to rejoice. You're united. You know, Yahweh said how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He said how good and pleasant it is. There's unity. You was fruitful. You planted your seed. You've been fruitful. You multiplied. It brought forth fruit. You didn't just plant it and it died. You planted your seed and it grew fruit. And you filled the earth. Fruit grew fruit. Increased. You are blessed. So what you gonna do with these blessings? Mope? Worry? Be sad? No. Look in 1 Samuel, the second chapter. We're going to start reading. In the first verse, and this is Hannah, or Connor, her prayer after Yahweh blessed her with a child, meaning she became fruitful. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in Yahweh. My horn is exalted in Yahweh. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There's none holy as Yahweh, for there is none beside you. Neither is there any rock like our Elohim. She was happy. She prayed to Yah for seed. She prayed to Yah to have a child. And she had one. And because she had this child, she had to give Yahweh the glory and rejoice before him. What are we doing? Killing our babies? Aborting them? Taking a 72-hour pill? Doing all kind of things that cause us to not rejoice. All kind of things that cause us to be sad and down and unhappy because you're not keeping the law. Why you think people are sad when they don't have children? Why you think people are sad when they don't multiply? Because they're not keeping the law. Yahweh gave people the vision in the beginning. So where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he that keeps the law. He gave you the vision in the beginning. In the beginning, he wants you to be about marriage. Be about being good. Be about being one. Be about being fruitful. Be about multiplying. Be about filling the earth so you can rejoice and be happy. But what is our people doing? Everything opposite. Again, the Creator in the book of Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, the 10th verse reads, "You shall keep the feast of weeks unto Yahweh your Elohim, with the tribute of a free will offering of your hand, which you shall give unto Yahweh your Elohim, according as Yahweh your Elohim has blessed you." You see, this is what you do. When Yahweh blesses you, you bring forth goodness unto him. And you shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim, you and your son, and your daughter, and your manservant, and your maidservant, and the Levite that is within your gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that among you in the place which Yahweh your Elohim has chosen to place his name there. Yahweh wants you to rejoice with your whole house so you can even bring joy to others. The widow, the fatherless, the Levite, the stranger, those that might not have what you have. Bring joy unto them. And that's through marriage. You can bring joy unto others through marriage by establishing this good. You can even bring joy to the Levite. Bring joy, what does it say? To the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow. The people that are poor among you, you can bring joy unto them because you established this house, because you built this family, because you have this fruit, because you've been doing what Yahweh said. Now those that are disadvantaged, are down, lost a husband, lost a parents, are in a strange place, those that are having less than you, you can now rejoice even with them. That's showing that you're blessed when you can bless others. You're showing you're blessed with this marriage that Yahweh has sanctified and has blessed. Again, look in the book of Proverbs, 29th chapter. In Proverbs 29, verse 2, it says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice." Why? Because when the righteous are in authority, the righteous are going to teach righteousness. And what's righteousness? Doing what Yahweh said. What did Yahweh say? It's not good for man to be alone. So the righteous are going to teach that man should not be alone. Man should have a wife. A woman should be married to a husband. That's what the righteous are going to teach. And they're going to establish this good. The righteous are going to teach that in this marriage, in this unity, in these covenants, you should be one. Yahweh's righteousness teaches that you should be fruitful. Yahweh's righteousness teaches that you should multiply and fill the earth. What's the people going to do? They're going to rejoice. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule and teach you to go to Planned Parenthood and teach you not to get married, don't you know what the New Testament teaches you? The New Testament, Paul, in the New Testament teaches you that you shouldn't even seek to get married. He says if you're not married, you shouldn't seek to get married. And you shouldn't even seek to have children. So he's telling you against what Yahweh told you. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. That's why you see a bunch of woeful, mourning people today. Women, sad. Men, sad. They don't have no husband. They don't have no wife. Women just sad, don't have no husband. Men don't have no purpose in life. They don't have no wife. And they, because somebody told them, don't get married. Don't get married. Don't get married. Yeah, you can have sex, but don't get married. Then they listen to this foolishness. They have sex. They get children. They depressed because they get child support and court cases put on them. They got all this strife, all this debate, all this oppression because you're not married. And this is what the wicked has been teaching you. So when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. But whoever loves wisdom rejoices his father. Your father should give you wisdom and say, look, son, find you a wife, a good thing. But he that keeps company with harlots spends his substance. Hey, if you go stay around a bunch of harlots, you're not going to have nothing, no substance, nothing to rejoice in, because you didn't follow the ways of the Creator. You didn't do what Yahweh said. Therefore, there's no rejoicing in this here. And look at the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. And what are we discussing? The purpose of marriage, part six. What is it? To rejoice. Yahweh said, rejoice with the wife of your youth. Because you're supposed to be happy with this woman that you built this whole life with. Before we go to Ecclesiastes, go to the book of Proverbs, the 17th chapter. Proverbs 17, verse 1, it reads here, better is a dry morsel in quietness therewith than a house for sacrifices with strife. It's so much better to have this peace, even if you got a dry morsel, than have a bunch of sacrifices and a whole lot of strife. And why is it better? Even though we've been going over this whole time, get substance, be abundant, rejoice. Don't think that this rejoicing is based on having a whole lot. It's based on giving Yahweh the praise, the glory, rejoicing before him. You did what he said. You followed his law. And because you did this, he blessed you. He brought you blessings. Now you can rejoice. But it's nevertheless, if you got a dry morsel and peace, even if you, your wife, and your one child, or you and five wives and 20 children, and you still only got a dry morsel, and it's quiet, it's peaceful, is better than having all kind of substance and you got a bunch of strife. Because we want to be happy with our house. And the way you're happy with your house is by following after the vision. You say, well, there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he that keep the law. And Yahweh gave a vision in the first chapter of the first book of the word of Yah. He gave a vision. And what was the vision? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. He gave you the vision. He told you it's not good for man to be alone. He gave you the vision. He told you to be one. Yahweh let us know what we should be looking at, what we should be picturing, what we should be trying to make manifest. That's how you get happiness. But if you going in a perverse way against the laws of the Creator, not doing what Yah said, then you're not going to have peace or quiet. You're going to have strife, regardless if you have Lamborghinis or if you have skateboards. It doesn't matter. Without the word of Yah, without the vision that he gives, you're not going to have happiness. So, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, Ecclesiastes 3, and we'll begin reading in the 12th verse. And it reads, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Let me start a little bit earlier. In Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, let's start in verse 9. What profit has he that works in that wherein he labors? I have seen the travail which Elohim has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that Elohim makes from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. What he's saying is the only good you have is to rejoice and to do good in this life. And Yahweh already let you know the way to rejoice, the way to do good is to be married. How you going to have good and no marriage? How you going to have a good life and you not married to Yah? You haven't separated yourself unto the Most High. Through these covenants, through the circumcision, through the Ten Commandments, through the Sabbath day. Yahweh made all these covenants with his people, married his people, rule over his people, protect his people. And what do? We treat Yahweh like a treacherous husband. And we go treacherously away from the Creator, committing whoredoms with all other kind of deities. Why you think we have all this oppression? Because we have failed in our marriage to the Creator. And so where do you think that leaves our marriages to one another? But here in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the 12 verses said, I know that there is no good in them. But this is the only good. For a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And if Yahweh told you that a man ain't good without a wife, then you're not going to be doing good in any life without that wife. Therefore, how are you going to rejoice? But this is how you do it. And that also, every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of Elohim. This is a blessing that Yah has given you to be rejoicing in all of his ways. Look what it says here in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. Verse 8. I'll start at verse 7. It says, "And Yahweh your Elohim will put all these curses upon your enemies and on them that hate you, which persecuted you, if you return to him." See, we got curses on us right now because we turned away from Yah. So we got curses on us. But he said, if you return unto him, he'll put all these curses upon your enemies and on them hate you, which persecuted you. And you shall return and obey the voice of Yahweh and do all his commandments, which I command you this day. And Yahweh your Elohim will make you plenteous in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your land, for good. For Yahweh will again rejoice over you as he has rejoiced over your fathers. And if you shall listen to the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, if you turn unto Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. Yahweh said he will rejoice over us because he has made us plenteous. And Yahweh rejoicing over us is continually blessing us. And since he's rejoicing over us, we should rejoice towards him. This is the joy that you're supposed to be sharing with your house. This is what Yahweh wanted you to bring to not just one person, but your whole house. He said you do this with your whole household. But today we have a perverse way of thinking. We go and rejoice for vain things. We rejoice because it's Friday. We rejoice because we got a divorce. We rejoice because of silly things. And Yahweh is surely not looking at these things and rejoicing over you with him. He's rejoicing because what it say in verse 9? And Yahweh your Elohim will make you plenteous in every work of your hand. If you do what? Return to him and do all that he commanded. All of the words of the Most High. You do his work, he'll rejoice. He'll make you plenteous in every work of your hand. The fruit of your body. So if he told you to be fruitful and you listen to him and you are fruitful, he's going to make you plenteous in the fruit of your body. People think that this is a bad thing to have a lot of children. This is a good thing. He's going to make you plenteous in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle. People think this is a bad thing. This is a good thing. The world today says too many cattle, methane gas, pollution. No, it's a good thing to have plenty of cattle. It's what the heathens is doing with the cattle is horrible. It's a good thing to have plenty of children. What the heathens are doing with the children is horrible. It's a good thing. I always said he'll make you plenteous in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your land. You'll have plenty of fruit. Apple trees, orange trees, and vineyards with grapes and olive trees and all kind of fruit bursting out. You won't even have to ever go to a Kroger or to a Pathmark or to a King Cullen or to a Publix and have to sit there and see, is this some good fruit or is this some bad fruit? You're not going to have to worry about cerebral palsy with your children and Down syndrome with your children and autism with your children, because blessed will be the fruit of your body. Yahweh will make these things blessings when you listen to him, when you follow his commandments, when you take hold of the vision, especially when you do it at the right time. It's not the time to get married at 15. It's not the time to get married at 12 or at 14 or 18. When did Yahweh even allow a man to go to war? Let me show you. In the book of Numbers. In the Numbers, the first chapter, verse 3 says, take you the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their head, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. You and Aaron shall number them by their armies. So you had to be 20 to go to war. You got to be 20. Bring an offering to Yah. You got to be a man. That's 20. Man go to war, meaning you could go and fight this battle amongst men. You ain't a boy anymore. And that's when you are a man. So at least, when you're 20 years old, you can think about getting a wife. But you might need to build you, not even might, you do have to build you a house. You need a house. You need a garden. Then you get a wife. And the Creator wants you to do this in his order so you can establish good, so you can rejoice properly before him. Go to the book of Psalms 127. Because we have been discussing the purpose of marriage. And what is the purpose of marriage? According to Yah, to establish good. One. To be one. Two. To be fruitful. Three. To multiply. Four. To fill the earth. Five. And number 6, to rejoice. After you've done established this unity, became fruitful, multiplied, and filled the earth, now you can rejoice. Now it is time to be happy in all the goodness that you got. In Psalms 127, verse 1 says, except Yahweh build the house, except Yahweh build the house, they labor in vain that built it. Except Yahweh keeps the city, The watchman waketh yet in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to eat and early, sit up late to eat bread of sorrows. So he gives his beloved sleep. Lo, children are heritage of Yah, and the fruit of the womb his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. This is where happiness is at. This is where rejoicing is at. When you have done that which Yahweh has proclaimed and pronounced. And two more scriptures before we wrap up. In Genesis, the first chapter, in verse 29, it reads, and Elohim said, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is a fruit tree yielding seed, to you shall it be for food. And every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And Elohim saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. Meaning, Yahweh seen everything he did. And he did it in 6 days. He made the light. He made the heavens. He made the earth. He made the lights to shine in the firmament of heaven. He made the fowls and the sea creatures. He made the beast and he made man. And he knew that it was very good. It was completely good. He was able to rejoice. This is very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. This is what happened in the sixth day. Well, after you done went through all of the proper steps of Yah's purpose of marriage, you can rejoice. You should look at your children and smile. You should look at your wife and smile. You should see your substance and rejoice. And make sure you're doing it with the widow and the fatherless and the Levite and the stranger. Don't hold and hoard all your blessings. Let them disperse. As the proverb said, and do it with joy. And the last thing we're going to read in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, verse 7. Go your way, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart. For Elohim now accepts your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all days of the life of your vanity, which he has given you under the sun, all the days of your vanity, for that is your portion in this life, and in your labor which you take under the sun. Just be happy with Yah's beautiful blessings, which has nothing to do, not one bit, with everything that is vain in life. The vanities is not what Yahweh wants you to be rejoicing over. The cars and the houses and the cribs, but your wife in this marriage that has allowed you to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth. It's time to rejoice. Because if your children don't see you happy, then what And how will you allow and teach them to be holy unto Yahweh if you not happy about being holy? And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.
Yeah.